Thanks for tuning in to your Day Off Podcast, hosted by your boys, Corey and Tony.
I think by the end of today, I might have another best friend.
They're committed to making you fall in love with the hair industry, one podcast at a time.
You're going to grab a lot of information.
Yeah,
you're going to learn a lot.
Presented by Hair Industry.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is it.
Your Day Off Podcast will begin after a word from our sponsors.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome to your day off. My name is Corey. Of course, I'm sitting with my best friend, Tony. What's up, buddy?
What's going on, brother?
Nothing, man. So the audio sounds a little bit different. It's because we're actually in a live place. We're at our friend, the Riser, Sharon and Charles Riser. They allowed us to set up at the Temple, Paul Mitchell, the Temple School in Frederick, Maryland. We're here at the Temple, and we're here at the Temple because the Temple had a very amazing speaker come in and speak to the students here today. And, you know, listen, we are honored enough to be sitting across the table from her now. She is known as the Brooklyn Braider.
Miss.
Hair and Humor, right? So yep. Instagram is Hair and Humor. So real quick, pause. Go follow at Hair and Humor on the Instagram. And our guest today is Camila Garistance. I think I got it right. Did I nail it?
Yeah.
I nailed it. They were saying they didn't think I was going to be able to do it. So listen, Camila's she's got a pretty amazing story. She's done some pretty special stuff as a hairstylist. I mean, let's talk about, you know, how.
Yeah, she got a gangster name, the Brooklyn Braider.
I know, that's kind of gangster.
You know what I mean? Yeah, that's pretty tight.
It's very tight. Kind of scares me a little bit.
Right.
She scares me a little bit. I think everybody from Brooklyn.
Well, that's why you got a name correct. You made sure you got that one right.
Oh, you ain't kidding. Yeah, she was giving me those mad dog eyes, right. You know, when when I was attempting to it. But we need to hook her up with Cassie, our other Brooklyn girl who terrifies me.
Right, yeah. You know? Just, I know, that Brooklyn swag.
I know, it's that Brooklyn swag. Anyways, let's get in. Shall we get in?
Yeah, let's do it.
So, Camila, welcome to your day off.
Hello. Wait a minute.
Yes.
Where Brooklyn at?
Where my Brooklyn peeps?
Woo. Yes.
That's all. Hi. The students at the Paul Mitchell Temple. They're excited.
Yes. Hello. Yeah. Hi, guys.
Thanks, man. Thanks for making time for us and hanging out with us today. We appreciate you. We appreciate you, man.
Of course. Thanks for putting respect on Brooklyn.
Yeah. We love Brooklyn. Yes. A couple years ago, we did the Brooklyn BarberCon. That was a lot of fun. Yeah.
I want a barber so bad. That's the
you
one
want
thing
to barber.
I want to barber.
When you said that, I wasn't sure if you were looking to date a barber or whatever. She said, I'm looking to barber. I'm looking for a barber.
That was the one thing in school I didn't learn. We got barber. A kid, didn't learn it.
Yeah.
So well, hey, if you're in town, April 2nd or 3rd, Trevor Moots, you're going to barbering to, actually, it's a bridging the gap between barbering and cosmetology class.
That's
hands-on.
Perfect.
Yeah.
No, I might come back.
Yeah. Come on down.
On my calendar.
It's like it's only like a couple hour train ride, and the train's the way to go between DC and New York. Or
it is.
Area in
it
New
is.
York. Yeah, it's definitely the way.
So Amtrak had those $26 each way fares for a while.
Oh yeah. We had a couple of them. Yeah, $26 to New York.
I have $26. Right?
Well, you need $52 to get home.
I think I got that too. I got $52. That sounds good.
Right. Oh my god, that's so funny.
Your name is the Brooklyn, or known as the Brooklyn Braider. Are you?
Nobody calls me that.
Really?
No.
It's just us?
It's just, you guys made that up, and I'm just owning it.
Like, no, we're owning it now.
I'm the Brooklyn Braider.
Well, we created the Brooklyn Braider, y'all.
You heard it here first.
Nobody calls me that. It's Miss Hair and Humor on Instagram, but I start off by saying I'm the Brooklyn Braider that went for it. Like, right. So it's like the beginning of a sentence.
Oh, God,
but
yeah.
Nobody calls me
Now they do.
Now they do. Yeah.
Not everybody. All our listeners are going to know you.
The Brooklyn Braid. I'm not mad at that. Right. It's accurate.
Hey, look, in 2 years, someone's going to be like, hey, are you the Brooklyn Braid? And she's like, what are you talking about? Yes. You're not going to remember this.
I'm going to say, why, yes, I am. Yeah,
why, yes, I am.
So.
Did you grow up in Brooklyn?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Since we call you the Brooklyn Braider, are you from Brooklyn?
I am absolutely from Flatbush, Brooklyn. My family is from the Caribbean, but I am a first generation Brooklyn Braider.
Where are your parents from?
They're from Trinidad and Tobago. Have you heard of Trinidad? A lot of people have not. Everybody thinks Caribbean and they think Jamaica. So Trinidad, I have to shout out my culture and my people. Trinidad and Tobago is where my family's from.
I'm a boxing fan, and there was that. Who was that middleweight boxer a few years ago?
From Trinidad? Oh, yeah, see, I don't know.
Yeah, that's different. Trinidad.
Trinidad is known for carnival. Y'all know carnival.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So then, yeah.
Well, that's also Rio, though, too, right? Don't they have a carnival?
But we're not talking about Rio. We're talking about Trinidad.
Trinidad. My bad, Trinidad. Now I'm scared.
Trinidad
in the house.
I'll tell you what, the Caribbean.
Yes.
Caribbean food.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we grew up, we had a friend, Sean Duncan, and he's from Jamaica, and mm-hmm. his mom, he was first, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. here. But his mom, we would go over there, and she would always cook us these homemade Jamaican food. It was like, we all made an excuse that, hey, you want to come over for dinner?
See your mom. Yeah. Well, for her food.
Right, yeah.
Hey, not going to lie, though, there's a pretty nice Jamaican restaurant right down the road here. Old Jerk and Jive.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But you know what's funny? I'm not a foodie.
No?
If you guys are foodies, that's why you enjoy it. But I kind of think I'm Italian on the low because I need the breads and the pastas. But Caribbean food, it doesn't excite me because I'm not a big meat eater.
No, I don't eat meat at all.
So and a lot of Caribbean food is based in meats and heavy.
Yeah, I just feel alone.
You are alone. Do you eat fish?
I do eat fish, uh-huh, but I'm not crazy about it.
I love fish.
I'm a picky eater. I eat like a toddler.
McDonald's?
I quit McDonald's. Right. I wanted to shoot it up in my and that was bad. But I quit that, and so it's really more so like I said, pasta, breads, the bad stuff.
Stuff that makes your joints hurt.
Yes,
and stuff.
Yeah. Yes. I just learned that.
I enjoy bread.
I just learned that
about the joints.
Yes, with bread. I just learned it because I fasted and stopped eating a lot of bread. I was like, wow. I can move my back. I can move my body.
It's amazing, right?
Yes, like, it's different.
And the opposite of that is like if you have a pasta meal, man, the next morning you're all like stiffed up and stuff, you know?
It's mind blowing.
Sometimes it's worth it.
Yeah. Oh, it's always worth it. But you just start thinking about things differently, like especially when you're over 40. It's like,
yeah.
I think I need some variety in my food choices.
Well, when I'm over 40, I'll let you know.
Also, I'm the oldest one in this room.
He's talking about 140.
That's funny. So how'd you find the hair industry?
I found the hair industry. The hair industry, wow. How did I find it? On TV. I always wanted to be in the industry, but I never thought I would fit in. Or meaning, because I'm specifically to braids. Like, I know braiding. And I said, everything on TV is glamorous and beautiful. And I'm like, nobody's braided. So I just found it from research, watching TV, wondering how can I be a part of it. And then I graduated from college, couldn't find a job, kept doing research. At the time, it wasn't Google, but I would just be popping into schools, getting information in person, which seems like a lifetime ago.
Right.
And then I would just hold on to the information, but I never did anything with it until, you know, eventually I got laid off and I was like, I think this is my window.
What did you go to college for?
Marketing. I did a marketing degree.
Oh, wow. So, yeah.
There's
two degrees that I think are super helpful. Well, one degree, really, that's super helpful for hairstylists, and that's a marketing degree. Like, if you're going to go to college or, like, if you have any ambition to be in the industry, like, it's like an MBA and a marketing degree, I think it's helpful in all aspects of life. And the older you get or the more that you're around, you understand how important those two you know, for sure. Be, you know,
But it was hard to develop because nobody would hire me because I didn't have experience, and I can't get experience if nobody's hiring me.
Right.
And so I ended up in the jewelry industry. So I never used the marketing. I wish Instagram was out when I had my marketing.
Right.
I would be like Insta famous. Not that that's the goal, but I would do so much better on Instagram. I feel like an old head.
Right.
That's right. I rely on this guy.
Yeah, and I'm terrible at it. So he's
the under 40 guy?
Yeah.
That's so
Let's
funny.
Let's get the 40 correct.
So were you kind of like, I mean, it was, you know, before like YouTube and stuff, but were you braiding before you got into the industry?
Oh, yes. Yes. I was braiding from a single digit age. My dad is probably tired of me telling this story, but he taught me how to braid. He was a Boy Scout in Trinidad. And Boy Scouts learn ways to tie a rope, which who knew? I wouldn't know that. And so one of the ways is obviously braiding the rope to secure it. And it was a random lesson when I was playing with my doll. Showed him my braids on my doll. And he was like, what is this? This is not a braid. And he showed me. And from there, it was magic. And my grandmother was my first client. And then from that, I was just, you want me to braid your hair? You want me to braid your hair? And I was just braiding everybody. So it's been with me all along, and I've always loved it. But it was never a career that I never saw it as I could be that, like I told you, on TV. How right. do I take this and end up in part of this glamorous world? So it never connected for me.
And when you talk about braids, are the braids that you do, are they more on-scalp braids or?
Both. Individuals and on-scalp. Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool. We're good friends with Patty Plymire, known as Queen of the South 5'12".
Oh, okay, I'm gonna find her,
dude. Yeah, she's dope. I'm fascinated by the whole braid world, especially on scalp braids, because like it's gotten so intricate over the last few years. You know,
yes.
And I can't visualize it. You know, like the sectioning and all that. And even when I watch Patty do it, I'm just like, I'm blown away by it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
The creativity is out there, but I kind of stick to the basics.
Yeah.
Because there was an era for that. Who was the basketball player? Oh, I don't know his name. It's not Anthony Hardaway. I'm showing my age.
Mm-hmm.
The basketball player that he used to do a lot of intricate designs. And everybody wanted those braids. So
didn't Iverson do that?
Iverson! Yeah. That's the name.
I'm Iverson, yeah.
Iverson. He had all the intricate parts, and my brother went through this phase where every week I was doing his hair. So he was the freshest in school. Fresh. Nobody says fresh, but he was the freshest in school. And it's like I've done that already, and it's so tiring, and it's so, you really have to have an eye for it. So I don't even touch it. I'm like, let's do clean classic. Let's keep it simple. And I actually recorded a clean classic basic cornrow video for YouTube.
Yeah.
And it did really, really well. So I'm like, see, people still want that basic knowledge. I'll leave the zigzags and stuff for other
to
people.
Patty.
Yeah. Patty can have that.
What's a knotless braid?
So a knotless braid is my specialty. It's a pain-free braid that typically when...
Is it really a pain-free braid?
Yes. It's pain-free. But the beauty of it is that it doesn't have a knot at the base. So black women usually get extensions years and years and years and decades, where to insert the fake hair, there would be a knot created at the base. Knotless is literally a braid without the knot at the base. And so it goes in a lot more naturally. It's seamless. And it's supposed to, if it's done well, confuse people to feel like, oh, is this your hair? Is this, what is this? And so, yeah, it's knotless. It's a braid, a braid without a knot.
Yeah, because I was, when I was researching you a little bit, and I was like, a knotless braid. What is a knotless braid? Mm-hmm. And described as a pain-free braid. I'm like, I've never heard of that.
Not all knotless braids are pain-free because not all people who braid know how to balance tension in their hands and what they're doing. But a knotless braid done the right way should be pain-free and seamless at the scalp.
Now, you mentioned
that
extension.
That means going to Brooklyn and get it done.
Go to the Brooklyn braider. Coined here. You mentioned extensions. It's not just for extensions, though.
It is for extensions. Okay. There's a seamless way to add hair for cornrows. But when you hear knotless, it's typically for the individual braids.
Because you can
also attach hair for a cornrow and show a knot at the front. But when you know how to do it knotless, it's, again, that seamless way. Some men have done it. You've done some men? No, not a lot. I've done some men. I've done...
some barbers.
some braids where you just need a little bit of length. And you attach it seamlessly. And so their hair is at the root, but then I'll add hair with the technique.
How long is it, like, what's the shortest that the hair can be before you can?
So, it depends. It depends on who you are. So my rule of thumb, if you want the Brooklyn braider, if you want Miss Hair and Humor, I created something called the fist test. So if you can hold your hair in the fist of your hand and it shows on the other side, your hair is long enough for me to braid. If your hair is inside your fist, forget you got to find it. Somebody else. Forget about it.
I get that.
So I'm going to rewind a little bit.
Yeah.
So, all right. So when you got fired and you
laid off.
All right. When you got laid off. When you got.
I need one of my buttons. Yeah, I need one of my buttons.
When you got laid off.
It's so much gentler. When I got laid off.
Yeah, when you got laid off.
So when you got fired.
So you said you couldn't find a job. Mm-hmm. And you decided, you know what, this is my opportunity to get into the industry. Mm-hmm. Did you go to cosmetology school? What was your route to get to where you're at now? Because, obviously with a marketing degree, you're able to somehow grab traction because we've seen you everywhere. So mm-hmm. What was your journey like?
So the first thing I did was in New York. I don't know about Maryland. We have a natural hair license. I don't know if Maryland has that.
I don't think Maryland does.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So that was my way to put my foot in the water, my pinky toe, because mm-hmm. I didn't know. Even though I loved braiding, I didn't know that I would want to do it every day.
Sure.
So the natural hair license, allowed me to come into the industry without making a full commitment. The program is shorter and it's cheaper. So I did that after 5 months, got my license. So I was able to work legally. Mm-hmm. But then my clients wanted haircuts. They were like, hey, well, can you trim my hair?
You're like, don't.
And I said, yeah, we don't learn that. The natural hair license is literally to say that you can legally braid, twist, shampoo hair by the state. That's the test.
Wow.
Anything to do with curly, coily, kinky hair, you can now do.
As far as like
cutting and coloring, no. So I decided to go all the way. Once I saw I had to turn people away, which is money. And I was like, I'll be right back. Give me 11 months. Come right back. And so that was when, back to back, I got my natural hair license, graduated in 2016. By 2017, I had my full cosmetology.
Wow. So you've only been on hair out of school
A little bit.
Yeah. Wow, man.
A little bit. Yeah. My journey is crazy.
Yeah, because like.
Do the math. Yep.
And what we're about to get into is like mind boggling mm-hmm. as far as I'm concerned, you know, what? But like, well, like you were on the Madonna tour.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
How did that come about? You're out of school for 3 years and now you're touring the world with Madonna.
Yeah. Technically out of school for two. In the third year I was on tour. Yes. That was a crazy story. So, and like I told the students today, when you remain open, doors open. So a model.
Elizabeth Fay calls that making space.
Yes, I'm always making space. An Australian model, a white guy with straight hair, asked for some cornrows. I never braided straight silky hair. And he had enough to braid. He passed the fist test. <Thank goodness. laughs> He passed the fist test. And he just wanted some straight backs. And so I tried it. It wasn't the braids to brag about, but I got the job done. They were neat. And the whole time I was doing it, I was like, this is ugly. Like, I suck. Right. But I pushed through. He never knew that.
Right.
I was just like, this is what it is. And so 3 years later, he called me because he remembered that I braided hair for this Madonna opportunity, which is insane. Because, you know, I don't know if you have an iPhone. My phone said, maybe Daniel. I was like, Daniel still has my number? Like, Daniel? Who's Daniel?
Right, exactly.
And there was a questionable hour. So I'm like, what does Daniel want at 12:30 in the morning? But now that I was, now that hindsight, I realized everything in entertainment industry happens after midnight. So you just have to make space and be available. And so, yeah, that was how that happened. It was from him remembering that I put myself out there.
So was he like a dancer? Or I mean, no. How was he involved in the show?
He wasn't. That was the gag. He just knew the camp. He worked with them at one point, and he knew they needed someone. He threw my name in the loop. He was like, I know someone. Well, I don't know an Australian accent. But right. Like,
no, let's say that here. Let me hear it again.
Oh, I know someone. That's not it. I
There it is.
I don't know.
The rest of the gang's a little late, but they got it.
I don't know. But yeah, he threw my name in the loop. That's and amazing. Literally, that's what happened. Somebody who I did not stay connected to, didn't talk to after. He did his photo shoot. He tagged me in his pictures. And I was like, that was pretty cool.
Right, yeah.
You know, that's a lesson learned to everybody who's listening to this. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times, you know, if we never done something and it might frighten us. We might be a little uncomfortable. And it might be easy to say, you know what? I'm going to pass. Or I'm not going to do this. You never know what kind of dividends it might pay off later. Mm-hmm. Always face your fears or face, you know, something, the challenges that you've never done, because you never know where that might lead.
And you never know who people know.
Yeah.
And what I like to tell specifically braiders is that remaining open, because there are some people who believe, I'm a braider, I braid black hair, this is what I do, that's it. If I told him that, this would have never happened for me.
Right.
Because there are people like that. I mean, and it's fine, that's your choice. Yeah. But for me, as a braider, I'm braiding your dog. I'm braiding the plant if it has the right leaf. If you want braids, I'm braiding yarn. I'm the person to call. And that's another thing that I said in class. I told the future professionals, don't be afraid to niche down and be known for that one thing. If this is what you do, it's not saying don't have other skills. It's saying be the obvious choice for something. Mm. And so as my page grew and people started to know about me, knotless braids and just braids in general, people started with, hey, that girl, Camilla,
she's the Brooklyn braider.
She's the Brooklyn braider. So that's what it is. I specialize in what I do.
We're going to get you a cape.
Could you please?
Oh, my gosh. That would be the best.
Yeah, the big old B on the chest.
A big old B.
So, I mean, dude, you've done something that, like, you know, maybe 1,000 people in life have done. Mm-hmm. Like, what's it like touring? I mean, we'll talk about Madonna specifically, but what's it like touring with her? And, like, what were your duties on set?
So,
and do they call it set?
I don't know. Is it a set?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know. You were there.
I don't know. Is it a set? A team. I was with the team.
Team, okay.
So what were your duties? I braided the dancers. The dancers and a background singer, but two background singers, but maybe the dancers. Oh, and the lead singer. Sorry.
The lead singer not being Madonna?
Did I say lead? I meant the, how do you say it? Main. See, I don't know the titles. I just know she was singing and she was a background singer, but she was like one of the lead. Anyway, I braided. Right. I braided her. And every day when they were rehearsing, when we had a show, I had to do cornrows. So even though I wasn't doing knotless, I did have to create that illusion that it was natural hair and she wanted it a certain length, et cetera, et cetera. And so, yeah, that's what I did.
So you did braids every day?
Every day. Just about.
How long was it?
And they were like exactly, sorry.
8 months. 8 months. That's why I got frozen shoulder when I came back.
So when Daniel called you and said, hey, I threw your name in the mix, mm-hmm. were you scared or excited?
Both. Because he didn't say what it was for, even though I spoke to somebody in the camp. Camp, that's the word. That's the camp. I spoke to somebody in the camp right after him because he said, can someone call you now? And by that point, it was like going on 1 o'clock. And I'm like, 1 a.m.? Who needs to talk right now? But I learned. And so he's talking to me and he's from Canada. And his background is noisy, and he didn't say what it was for. He just said, yeah, can you come tomorrow? And I'm like, okay. But it was Brooklyn, so I said yes. And then it was when I got there and I signed an NDA when I walked in. I said, oh, this is big. I don't know what's going down. But
hold on, hold on, hold on. So what was that feeling? Like, you, they hand you the NDA because you didn't even know you were doing an NDA, right?
No, I did not know. And I'm signing away and I'm like, I need to call my mother. This is a big deal. I've never signed an NDA.
If I disappear, I'm here.
Literally. And I'm like, oh, no. I've never shared this story, this part of the story. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But literally, I knew it was something important. And I know you should read. You should read these things before you sign your life. It could have said, can we sell your body parts? But everything
moves. Thank you for the kidney.
Yes, everything moves so quick. I just signed it. And my eyes scanned, and I thought I saw her name, but then...
Oh, hold on. So was it her full name, or did it just no, one? Because she goes by one
it's
name.
It's just the one name. Mm. And I scanned it, but I didn't want to look like I wasn't used to this lifestyle. So when he was like, oh, yeah, I signed an NDA, and he's talking to me like I knew. So I'm like...
Did you know what an NDA was?
Yes, from other people. Uh-huh. And so I said, okay, I'm just going to sign it. Oh, yeah, this is normal. NDA. I just felt that.
You should know the stuff I can't talk about.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm shook, but I sign off. And then as he's walking me to meet the dancer as the test run, obviously I didn't just get hired. He says, did I tell you who this is for? And I was like, no. He said, oh, Madonna. I was like, oh, Madonna. Oh, I heard of her. In my mind, I'm like, Madonna?
The like, Madonna?
Madonna? And so, yeah, that's really the background of what happened. And then I met one of the dancers, and they were looking for somebody who specialized, again, goes back to that specializing, in curly, coily hair, because the dancers had curls and coils and straight mm-hmm. hair. But again, if you are good at your craft, you should be able to do it on any fiber. And so that's... Eventually, after that first test, I came back and did a second test. I was braiding her children by that second test. Yeah, the twins. And after that, the third day, they were like, so Camilla, we want to invite you to join. I'm like, what? I'm just a braider from Brooklyn.
How did that feel, though?
It felt amazing. It was nothing to think about. It obviously is a huge ask to say, I want to pluck you out of your life.
Right.
As I'm also in the peak of my momentum for Knotless, mm-hmm. my page is building. My client people are like, I can't get an appointment. I had a wait list of 99 people. I'm like, this is not what they prep you for in beauty school. They say, get your license, work at a salon, own a salon, and die. Right. Nobody spoke about Madonna in school. So I was adjusting, but it was exciting. So and it thankful. Also, yeah.
You were thinking, like, thank God I got... laid off.
Oh, well, I said that the first day. I didn't have a plan.
If you could see me now.
As soon as they said, Camilla, we want to talk to you, and they walked me to the room, I was like, yes.
So what was it like when you met Madonna for the first time?
It was easy. I mean, she's cool. I'm from Brooklyn. So you're around, being in New York, celebrity is really nothing.
Mm-hmm. But you won't hold on, bro.
I'm telling
She's
you.
She's different celebrity, though. It's Madonna.
Yeah.
It's like Madonna, Prince Michael. I mean, let's be clear.
This is true, but it still didn't affect me mm-hmm. because the experience was so new. So I was distracted by the things in my head. I think I realized Madonna was my boss in month four because I was settled into my new environment. I knew what I had to do.
Right.
You know, it's just like being at work. When you learn how to cut corners, you could take a coffee break here. You could hide in the bathroom there. Once I got to that point and all the nerves came down, mm-hmm. I remember one day she came into rehearsal and, you know, I'm hearing, it's like buzzing and lights. And I think it was during one of the first shows. And I'm like, what is all of this excitement? Like, if this is a celebrity. And I said, oh, I work for a celebrity. Like, and that's when it hit me, like, I'm on tour with Madonna. Like,
Madonna.
This is a big deal. So, yeah, no, it did not catch up to me.
How big is the team? I mean, like, from hairstylists to dancers to musicians. Oh,
it was a huge group. I can't remember.
A lot of people.
It was a lot of people. She brought a lot of people with her. It was good, though. It was a great, and everybody got along. If she called me tonight and said, I'm going to do it one last time, I'd be like, well, guys, this was nice, but I have a plane to catch. I would leave. I loved it. I loved it.
She said if she called you tonight, do you have her number in your phone?
Absolutely not. No.
She ain't like that.
So I won't say, maybe Madonna.
Could you imagine? That was good. Oh no, God. She is not in my phone. But if she needed to reach me, she could find me.
She could find you.
Oh, for sure. Oh, for sure.
So I want to go back a little bit because I'm blown away by, like, doing braids every day. I mean, would you have to do braids? Meaning, like, were they falling out during the performance and stuff where you had to do it? Or they just wanted it super fresh every day?
Well, they're performers. So their instrument is their whole body. They're sweating. They're dancing. They're tumbling. Headpieces on and off.
She
wanted to see those braids for rehearsal and for the show. So even if I did the best braids I could in the morning, by the night, those braids were a mess.
So, you just brought up something. So, did they rehearse all day before a show?
So it's not just
we think about, like, we think like, oh, Madonna, you know, she performs for, you know, 3 hours or, you know, 2 hours or something in the evening. But like, she's been working all day.
Oh no, the team. Yeah. The camp.
The camp.
We all worked. Before every show. She's a perfectionist, and it the end result was beautiful and it was worth it. But of course, in the moment it's like, I got to braid this again. I would try to plead with the dancers. Just kind of do a light tumble. I want to take a break too.
They're like, do you know who our boss is?
Right. Exactly. There's no halfway tumbling. All right. But no, it was good.
All right. So we're going to move slightly beyond this because after 8 months, obviously all your momentum and traction had gone, right?
I mean,
all of it. So how do you pick up where you left off?
You depend on the people that's been with you shooting in the gym. I really created a tribe of people that supported me. And when we came back from tour, COVID hit. We had to run out of Paris. Like, our flight changed. They were like, you don't got to go home, but you got to leave. You got to get out of here. And so as the day we landed, I think the airport's closed. And so That's always been a concern for me. Plus, it was COVID. Plus, I had frozen shoulder. So I lived like a T-Rex for basically, I want to say a year and 6 months. Not to mention, sidebar, I was part of the Black is King braid team as well. So I have Beyonce and Madonna on my resume and then World Stops. So I was like, who am I? I'm a loser. But what I used that time to do was to basically sit down and I wrote my first little ebook, Beyond the Braids. I started an online school to teach knotless. And so that kind of helped. But then Paul Mitchell came along and here I am. So that helped as well. So it's like I never really worried because of being laid off 3 times in my previous career as a gemologist. But I said, there's a bigger meaning here. And I tried to get all deep in. Wait, I think this is a moment. I have to think, what is life really about? When I focused and changed instead of panicking, that was when doors start to open. Because it is, to answer your question, it was tough. I was like, now what? But here I am, meeting you guys.
That's awesome. We meet you. That's what's awesome.
Yeah, the pleasure's ours. Right.
Thank you.
So how did your relationship with Paul Mitchell start?
When Claybaugh, he found me. He is actually on the board for the scholarship that I received. Beauty Changes Lives. You guys know that?
Sure. Yeah, of course.
I'm a Beauty Changes Lives recipient, class of 2016.
Our friend Danny was a recipient, and we're good friends with Jen Plank.
She was the very first recipient.
She's Jen the very Plank, first. Yes. Yeah, Jen Plank's a good friend of ours.
I met Jen Plank.
She's amazing.
Yes. I'm 2016. I applied. I got it, which helped me tremendously to pay for, because that was the other reason I avoided going to beauty school, even though I had an interest early. I was like, I don't got
a lot of money
at the time, $20,000 or whatever. I know, I think it's more now. But that's when I don't know how he discovered me, but I think in that world he found me, and then he reached out and I think he emailed me like, hey, I just like put two and two together that you are on Beauty Changes Live recipient and blah, blah, blah. Like, I really don't remember. But Wynn fully embraced me and just took a chance. And at that time, the industry was really being combed through and scrutinized for their lack of inclusion of curly, coily, kinky hair in the curriculum. It's not in the schools. Nobody's talking about it. It's like the elephant in the industry. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I was so grateful that Paul Mitchell said, you know what? This is us making an attempt to bring in a physical person to talk to women, people, students look in their eyes and say, this is what curly, coily, kinky hair is at the very basics. Let's have a conversation.
Right.
And so, yeah, Wynn has been literally the reason why I've been doing what I'm doing. So he's
That's
great.
That's awesome. He's an great. Amazing, amazing guy.
He is.
He's just a really good dude. He's been great to us.
And now, his number I have in my phone.
I might have Wynn's number on my phone too, but I'm gonna we're gonna check that out after the podcast.
Yeah, we're gonna see whose text he answers first.
You wanna play that? Didn't The Rock and Kevin Hart did it?
Kevin
Hart was, I want to say he was sitting with, I want to say like Chris Rock or something, and he texts The Rock and he doesn't respond back, and then Chris texts him, and then The Rock texts him back.
That
and
is
Kevin's like, oh, yes. I'm sure it was a bit, but it was still hilarious.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah, that's funny. He'll definitely respond back to you first. He'll be like, Corey, who? Maybe Corey.
That's hilarious.
Oh my gosh. Have you worked with Kia Neal at all?
No. I never heard of her.
So
should I know her?
Kia, she like headlines this movement, I think is the best way, mm-hmm. called Texture Versus Race. So she's Ooh. Teaching like it's not black hair, but it's coily hair.
That's what I say in the presentation. That's Words it. Matter. Black is a color.
Black
right?
is a color.
Right? Literally, the presentation is curly, coily, curls, coils, kinks, and culture, an introduction and celebration of black hair. But I put that on purpose and I say, disclaimer, black hair is a color. We are talking about hair that grows out of the people of African descent. That is a difference. Coarse hair does not mean black. You know, all of those things, they right. interchange texture to mean, how am I saying it? Texture to mean behavior,
right?
And so it's like people will see a person of African descent and say, oh, her hair is so coarse. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, her hair is actually really fine and delicate and fragile. It's not coarse. People don't, and I think YouTube, I blame YouTube for that. I blame people who aren't in the industry for that. Mm-hmm. The terms we use matter.
Right.
So.
Yeah, and our schools need to pick up these type of conversations type of, you know what I mean? Like, because if it's not taught in our schools and we don't know, we're going to learn it from somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And obviously, it's misguided information.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Kia, one of her quotes is, I hope I'm quoting her right, but mm-hmm. I'll just, you know, it is what it is. You know, she says that the two most segregated segments of life now are mm-hmm. churches and beauty schools.
Wow.
Right?
That's a heavy, yeah. Wow.
Right? But if you think about it.
Yeah.
You know?
But that's also, again, why I love doing these presentations, even though I shake inside. They can't tell. It's because it's the non-black students that really stay behind and talk to me. And they're like, I want to specialize, or I want to try. How can I? And I'm like, come on over. Like, give it a chance. And because of that Madonna story, it's like, don't limit yourself. Because what happens is, stylists who are licensed but never touched, manipulated, braided anything, curly, coily, kinky hair, end up in spaces, taking up spaces because they have more of the opportunity, and then they're damaging the hair. They're the performer, the artist, it happens all the time. The person in the show, in the play, they end up with a hairstyle where they look crazy. And then we're all at home like, so nobody knew how to do her hair.
Right.
And like, it just, and round and round we go, we hear about it all the time. Fashion runways. It's like, what? That, and then, or the model or the performer does their hair themselves. And there's a budget. So the stylist is getting paid, or that budget is being absorbed somewhere else. And it's like, it's not that difficult. Like, just,
right.
Get in there.
Yeah, and I think to your point is that our schools need to be a little bit more integrated, so we, you know what I mean, and learn mm-hmm. all the different fabrics and textures.
Yes,
yeah,
you know what I mean, not just straight hair or straight. You know what I mean, and because Kia, go back to Key a little bit. Mm-hmm. She said, you know, forever, all she knew, you know what I mean, was kinky, coily hair. And she goes, I'm going to challenge myself. And she put herself in a predominantly white salon just so she can learn that kind of hair texture. You know what I mean? And she totally put herself out of her comfort zone, and she learned. And then that way she can start having these conversations with everybody else in the salon. And it was such an amazing thing.
Absolutely. I agree, because I don't round brush blow dry at all. Right. Like that, you don't want to see me round brush.
Oh, yeah, we do.
You do not want to see me round brush blow dry. Like, it is horrible. But at one point when I worked at a salon and I was getting to that actual fit, I was like, yes, let me do this. I did what I had to do to pass school and everything, but real world is different. Yeah. School doesn't tell you how.
That's why it's called real world.
The real world hits you. And I was just about to get into the lesson of that to perfect it, and I left the salon. Like, I was like, this is not for me. Not because of that lesson, but other reasons.
It's because you're going on tour. That's
I mean, you know. I mean, there needs to be a bomb button. Not a bomb. A bomb drop.
That's coming. I can hear it now. That's crazy.
Instead of the mic drop, it's the round brush drop.
Yes. You know? Yes.
I like that. Round brush drop. I'm going to have to use that in our presentation.
You heard it here first.
You heard it here first. Round. You heard it first. So how did you, I'm fascinated by celebrity. So how did you, how'd you meet Beyonce and what?
I didn't meet her. Oh, come on.
Well, let me back up. How did you work on her team?
A fellow stylist. Instagram is an amazing tool. A fellow stylist reached out to me. I didn't know, because, you know, before you sign these things, you have to
NDA it.
Yeah, they have to be creative on how they present it to you. And so a fellow, like an amazing braider online, who's also from Trinidad and Tobago, her name is Braided.
Whoop whoop.
Her Instagram name is Braided. Her name is Shy. She reached out to me to be a part of the team, but didn't say who it was. And it created this interesting dilemma, because I was already contracted to Madonna. And so I told her no originally. And this is something I also didn't speak about publicly, but I told her, like, no, I'm not available. I'm already contracted. And she said, well, do you know somebody who braids as neat as you? And I said, yeah, of course. But I didn't. Like, I knew someone who was interested and had a lot of potential. And it was a dear friend of mine. Her name is Safia, Hair Love NYC on Instagram. And I reached out to her and I said, Safia, I'm going to need you to step it up. Because I knew if this particular braider was calling me, it would be attached to something big, because she's major online. She's major. And so Safia's already nervous, because she doesn't consider herself a braider. She considered herself at the time a weave colorist, you know, everything except braiding. I said, listen, we're going to get on a phone call and we're going to talk about these braids, and we're going to talk about how you're going to do it and execute. And so she, blah, 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 she ended up, I connected them. She ended up going, and then Safia kind of looped me back in, because I had days off. And I said, if there's room for me, tell them I can come. And she said, girl, I don't know what's going on, but I need you to be a part. You really do need to be a part of it.
Hold on. Time out. Mm-hmm. I've got NDA question. So at this point, could she tell you who the artist was?
No, but there's a certain energy when Beyonce's involved in something that everybody has. So she never had to say.
I would never know that, because I don't think I'm ever getting the call from Beyonce's team.
She never said it. But when I said, I'm calling out names, I'm like, is it? And when I said her name, she just said, girl, just get here. And that girl had a bass level that I was like, it's Beyonce. I know it's Beyonce. It's Beyonce. And so, yeah, when I got to the salon that it was from, that we worked, I should say, with Neil Farina. Once I saw it was Neil Farina's salon, I said, that's Beyonce. Because that's his client. That's his major celebrity client. And so we were just doing what we had to do, braiding. It was multiple braiders. I was just part of the Brooklyn team, because Kim Kimball also had her team working out on the West Coast, because there were, I think, 300, how many wigs? I don't even remember how many wigs.
once we finished it, we were just looking at each other like, and so to see it all, to see what we were a part of and contributed our talent that's to cool. was
so you, was so you crazy. Were you were braiding wigs then?
Yes, braiding wigs. Awesome. Yeah. Whoa. She had the team or whatever her team is had inspiration pictures that we just mimicked and created, and yeah, it all showed up in black.
So when you see them on like video and stuff, you're like, that's my brain.
It was a team effort. That's what I can say.
I was a part of that.
I was a part of that.
That's pretty cool, man. Yeah,
because there were so many wigs. So right. just it that was pushed on the team's behalf. It was like, listen, there's no ego in it. It's not that was mine and that was mine, which I appreciated because it was so many braids. So it right. was like, anytime I see that video, I'm like, I was part of that. The whole thing.
I'm on that. I'm on that.
Did COVID kind of slow that down too?
So yeah, so back to your original question, that's what happened. Like COVID slowed down those type of moments where I thought I was like, I got Madonna, check. Beyonce, Black is King, check. COVID happened and then I was home. No checks. So it did slow it down, but it was a good thing because I was able to present myself in a different way, like I said, and think about, well, who am I in this industry? And contribute in a different way and still circulate. But then other doors did start to open because you still never know who's watching your page.
Sure.
So people behind people were watching me. And then I ended up braiding the hair for Sex and the City.
Stop. Really?
Where's the bomb drop? No, wrong button. The wrong button. The wrong button. Where's the button?
So for the new show.
Yes. They added, cool. you know, a little sprinkle of some clearly kinky girls. And Nicole Ari Parker was one, but I braided Karen Pittman. So she's, and there was like a line in the script where Miranda says, oh, I didn't think you were the teacher because of your braids. And so the camera goes to her braids. And I'm like, now that one I pointed at. I was like, that ain't
the team.
That's not the team.
That's the Brooklyn braider, dog.
That's exactly how that happened. Because it was such a moment. That was a specific moment. Like Madonna's tour and Black is King is great. But this was a show where I was working with the actual actress to create the braided styles. It on set, a hair person obviously added things, but I did the braids.
Look at the video. You can't even see the headphones. Uh-huh. Where's the horseshoe?
Where's the horseshoe?
I mean, not someone for you to get lucky to be able to do Madonna's thing, Beyonce's thing. Now, you're doing all these things, and yeah. you've only been in the industry for a few years.
I know. It's like, a little crazy.
There is a horseshoe somewhere.
I mean,
it's in her nose.
Right? Yes, my nose ring. I tell people all the time, God is my agent. And I feel like when you, like I said, when you remain open, doors open for you. My talent, I know, and the fact that, because it's not only what you do, it's the fact that people have to like you. There's so much ego with people who are skilled. The people in Madonna's camp told me, Camilla, it's not that we can't find a braider. A lot of people braid. Do we want to be around this person for 8 months? That's a different conversation that we don't have in the industry as well. Like, you can have a lot of talent, but people don't forget how you make them feel, which, again, is why maybe Daniel. He called me only because I pushed through and I wasn't negative. Even though in my head I was like, I suck. He never felt that. Even though I was scared and I was nervous, he never felt that. So I really think your talent really opens doors.
You are infectious.
Oh, thank you. I'm trying to control it. Right,
Don't control it.
Because you've been in magazines. You got TV. I mean, on tour.
I was a hair supervisor for theater. So that was pretty cool.
What's that?
Like an off-Broadway play. My first play. Like I got union hours.
What? Really?
Yeah. So I'm like, yes, keep going.
We need to connect you with Lynn up at He's the head stylist for Project Runway. He does a lot of fashion week and stuff like that.
Okay.
Yeah, we need to connect you guys.
I love connections. Yeah.
He's a good dude.
Again, another topic, I don't think the students, because I didn't hear about that before when I was in school. It was just get your license, get a salon, or work in a salon. But the power of connections.
Yeah.
It's not even about who you know. It's who knows you, who has your name.
Sharon Reiser, who owns this school, we've heard her on numerous occasions. Her her quote about the industry is like, this industry is all about relationships. You know, and like if and those relationships can go either way. If it's a relationship that you've burned, like that's a what that's the old adage, like burning a bridge, you know, but it's so true. I mean, it seems like certainly when you're in school, this industry seems huge, but it's not.
It's not.
You know, it's pretty small. And when you start playing with the people that you see on Instagram and the people that you see in magazines and stuff, you realize that there's not that many, you know.
And you know how it gets smaller? When you get into the curly, curly, kinky world.
Preach.
When you specialize in curly, curly, kinky hair in these spaces, your name flies around. Because no sooner than the first theater production that the musical, I should say, worked on, once that ended, someone was already asking me, did I want to work on something else? And I was like, what? Like, I have options. I mean, ultimately, I turned down an opportunity because of where I want my focus to be. But I said, the fact that I can have the option to turn it down and still know that I would be working with Paul Mitchell or have my clients, my tribe, that tribe I built who feels good with their seamless, knotless braids. Those options is what I want to always create, which is why even corporate America, I knew it wasn't for me because I said, I am not designed to be behind a desk doing the same thing over and over. It's just not for me.
How does this might be a personal question, and you can totally like shut me up if you want. Okay. But how does like when you're on the road for 8 months, like is that pay comparable to like working in a salon or is it a little bit more, or is it like just something like, hell, I'm on tour with Madonna, like I'll do it for $4?
Well, nobody's doing it for $4. No. But I will say this. I would have made more money at home. It wasn't an immediate yes. Like obviously I wanted to do it, but when I did sit still with what was laid out in front of me, what I want my career to eventually be, it made more sense. So it's almost like when you get a job and it's like, yeah, this is the base salary, but look at all these little perks or these other things. And so for me, I could have hustled more at home and probably made a lot more because of where my price point was also headed for my braids. But what that moment represented had so much more value that now that when Paul Mitchell introduces me, it validates why I can stand in front of this audience and say,
I'm so glad you used the word value, because value and money are not the same thing. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. I have a son-in-law who just graduated nursing school, and he was having a couple, he consulted with me like, you know, I've got a couple places where I can end up and, you know, what are your thoughts about it? And my advice to everybody that's starting off, whether it's hair, whether it's whatever it is, you know, when you get out of college, is that experience in the long run pays way more than a quick check. So, you know, if you can get paid well and the experience is good, that's your first option. But if it's experience, always choose experience over money early on in your career. Because in the long run of it, it pays off way more. And that's value.
Absolutely. And the thing about it, there's this side of it where if the door is being opened, I have to walk through it because, like you said, these moments are happening for me in my third year.
Right.
What? Like, no, this is not. What is the bigger meaning? And so it also was me stepping into the moment to say, I don't know what this means yet, but it's so big, and it's people work lifetimes and don't have that opportunity. I was like, there's something else for me here. And so when I said yes to Madonna, I said yes to Beyonce, it's not because I want to be a celebrity braider. I was banking things for where I am right now for this Paul Mitchell moment. Because again, when I'm speaking, when I come back and I speak to students and I'm saying I'm a braider, I'm not saying I'm a cosmetologist. I'm speaking to a very specific person. I'm speaking to the me that's in the chair where I was just a few years ago. Because nobody that looked like me or had my experience talked to me in school. And that's what these DM conversations are when I leave the class. They're like, you have me thinking so many more other things that I could do in my career. So
I'm going to take it all the way back to the very beginning.
What's your name?
Okay. Hi.
What's your conversation with your dad about the braids now? You know what I mean? Like, he's got to like, wow. He's got to be like,
I hope so.
Proud.
I hope. Oh, they're proud. My parents, they just, when I call, they're like, okay, who is it now? Like, they're...
Now you can say, like, Tony and Corey.
They're going to Google you. Like, oh, if I say that, they're going to... They know how to Google. Right. Like, look him up. He's proud.
Yeah, I mean, from you know, correcting your braid from when you're a little girl mm-hmm. to now here you are traveling the world. And I mean, literally, you know, you're known... Mm-hmm. as this particular Brooklyn braider.
Yeah.
And you're taking it by storm. And it's just like, yeah, he has to be in all of you.
Yeah. My parents are extremely proud. My dad is, he's a little more, I don't know if you're into Zodiac, but he's a Libra, so he's a lot more cool. My mom is the excitable. She'll, oh my God. And she's all into celebrity. And she keeps saying, Tyler Perry's next, and she's looking up who to work with next. I'm like, Mom, relax. That's not how it works. But yeah, he's very proud. I think I like I said when I said it, he's probably tired of me saying my dad taught me how to braid. My dad, and he's like, all right, I thought you had a braid. But those are both of my parents in their right contributed to exactly why I believe these doors open. My dad started the interest of my skill, and my mom is, because we spoke about Zodiac, she's a Cancer, so it's all about relationships. And so between my skill and understanding ego-less relationships, more doors just keep opening.
That's the magic sauce.
It's the sauce. Plus, yeah. I'm born in Brooklyn. So, yeah.
Brooklyn. So, I mean,
throw that in.
Normally, at this time of the conversation, mm-hmm. you know, what we would ask our guest is like, you know, what's the future hold for you? But mm-hmm. man, dude, I mean, I don't know if there's an answer there because who knows? I mean, if Madonna goes on tour, maybe that.
Maybe Janet. Yeah. I don't know. But honestly, I think what's next for me, I want to do more of this, meaning speaking, sharing my story to inspire the next generation. I'm actually considering about going into education and like not owning a school, but something where I can impact from this beginning part where mm-hmm. people need to hear the stories. Because sometimes in school, who comes back is, you know, no offense, was like the older white guy who has a shampoo line and I've been doing this. And you're looking at him like, I don't understand. I've never heard of your line. Who are you? Whereas now in this age of Instagram and wanting to connect to people, the fact that I sit here with a curly fro I'm overstating it, but the fact that I'm from Brooklyn, which is someplace that people connect to, they have a friend or a family. It's like, oh, the fact that I have Caribbean heritage, the fact that I started braiding in the steps, then I braided in schools. Then I like the fact that I have all these familiar feelings of young black, brown women at home. More people need to realize that because it's, again, like I said, it's part of the reason why I waited so long because I didn't think I belonged.
Right.
So I'm kind of here to say, I belong, you belong, let's go.
That's amazing. Dude, thank you so much for hanging
thank
out
you.
With us, man.
This
and
was
again,
easy.
Thanks Sharon and Charles for one, introducing us, and then and two, allowing us to set up and chat with you right here at the school and, you know, get to see all the students and stuff walk by. Future professionals, I think, right?
Future professionals.
And
how can our audience keep up with you, find you, mm-hmm. you know, follow you?
I'm always on Instagram. It's Miss Hair and Humor, MSHAIR. ANDHUMOR, Miss Hair and Humor. And that's where everything kicks off.
That's amazing. Yeah. So Madonna, if you're listening, she'll take her job again.
Maybe.
I don't know. After meeting you guys, who knows?
Maybe Madonna.
Maybe Snoop Dogg.
He has locks. Yeah. He doesn't need braids anymore.
Actually, a friend of ours does his hair.
Really? His locks?
DC. He does. Really? He's his barber. I don't know if he does his locks, but he does his cleanups and stuff.
Nice.
He was at the Super Bowl just a little while ago.
Nice.
It's crazy, right? Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Again, thanks for hanging out.
Painless. Thank you.
Oh, I like to hear that. Normally we get the opposite. That was brutal.
No, this is painless.
That's
awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I'm going to mess up the whole ending now. No. Camila, thank you very, very much for joining us on your day off.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, share it with friends, give us a rating, and drop a review. To listen to all the latest podcasts, please subscribe from your favorite podcast outlet. And to stay connected on and off the show, you can follow us at Hairdistry on Instagram and all other social media platforms. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time. Peace and love.